Hey, hello.
Morning.
Welcome to Father's House this morning. And I have been just enjoying spending time with God over the last lockdown season. For me, it's been a great time just to hide away in my bedroom and spend time with Jesus. Some might think it's very unsociable, but I think it's a great place to be. So, and over the last week or two, he's really drawn me to Psalm 36. So I just want to read that out this morning to you. Psalm 36. This is for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord. So this is from David. And he says, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. How would you feel about that if I came on and said, I have a message from God about the sinfulness of the wicked this morning? So, I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not regret doing wrong. But your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings, and they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. And we're going to look at that, and we're also going to look, if you turn to Psalm 1, we're going to be looking at how they work together to speak about how God sees. We're going to look at three different groups of people. We're going to look at those that God calls wicked, and why he calls them wicked, what is the characteristics of the wicked. Then we're going to look at the second group of people, are God's family, he, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the God family. And then the last group, we're going to look at the upright in heart, the righteous before the Lord, those that are born again of the Spirit. So Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Do you want to do slide one? I just want to put up a slide here that I found that I felt kind of spoke about the first part. There you go. So I just saw this picture and I just thought this actually really kind of to me depicted a world without God, which was disorder, despair, people that work from logic rather than from revelation, people that take away the innocence, people that can, you know, suffer loss and end up going down roadways that just are not good, people that rebel against authority, people that are savage to one another, people that don't know how to reason well, people that are in despair, that suffer hopelessness. So I just feel like that is the place It's like man's idea of what wickedness is. So, one, man. The condition of man without God, God says, is a wicked condition in Psalm 36. And I just began to ask myself and ask the Lord, why do you say that they're wicked? What classifies them as wicked before you, God? And here it's very clear, in verse 1, it says that there's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of the Lord before their eyes. So then I said, well, what is it that their focus is on if it's not on God? You know, what is it that the focus of man is that causes wickedness if their eyes aren't fixed on God? And in this chapter, it lists them very clearly. It says that self-flattery. And today when you look at the media, and especially I think men and women both, but especially women, there's this image, especially in Western society, of what a woman should look like, you know, with the tattooed eyebrows and the orange paint in the face, and everything's very, very same, like this template of what beauty should be, you know, the shape, the face, everything. It's like this self-flattery of this is how I'm going to look because this is what makes me beautiful. Self-flattery, their focus is on vanity, which kind of ties in with a bit with self-flattery. But it's like they're being blinded. It's like that's what their eyes are seeing. They're not seeing beyond that and what that takes them to. The Bible says that they're deceitful and wicked. In verse 3, the words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. And it's like sin is even made manifest in what comes out of people's mouths. You know, things that hurt each other, things that I've heard people say, things people, and we've gone up to say, oh, can I pray for you? You know, and they've come back really aggressively. I don't believe in God. And it's like this out rebellion against anything to do with even the name of Jesus, even the name of God. And so even out of their mouth comes wickedness and deceit. And I think we live today in a world that's full of deception. This COVID-19, nobody really knows the truth. There's all these like conspiracy theories that are flying around. There's all these ifs, whats and maybes. And it really is such a spirit of deception that's over the globe right now. And we as God's people need to have our ears tuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we don't become deceived, so that we don't become ones that are speaking deception to others, but actually ones that carry the truth and carry life to others around us. Foolish choices. They make foolish choices, and also committed to a sinful and rebellion lifestyle. This really shocked me that God says the wicked are actually committed to a sinful lifestyle. It says they plot on their beds at night how to be wicked, you know, how to be rebellious against God and God's laws and God's commands. So it's a commission, it's a choice of their soul, a choice of their spirit to be committed, to be in rebellion against God. Why? Because their eyes are blind. They're blinded to other things. Their focus isn't on him, it's on these other things that we're talking about. So partnership with sin, and therefore they are partnering with the author of sin, which is Satan or the devil, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of wickedness. And in that place, the enemy has no place for truth. He has no place for honesty or integrity or honour or love. He is set on lies, deceit, murder, and theft. Theft of identity, theft of life. So on Psalm 1, when we look at Psalm 1, if you can put up slide 2. If you look at Psalm 1, it says that the wicked are like chaff. They're like chaff that's being blown around. Now, this is a guy that's separating the wheat from the chaff. And what they do is they toss it in the air and they it separates. The wind blows the chaff away and the wheat falls to the ground and they can begin to gather the ground. So it's thrown in the air repeatedly put under the pressure of being thrown up in the air, and the wind begins to blow and separate that. And I feel like in our lives, maybe even now, we're feeling like we're being thrown in the air in the midst of this lockdown period, that we're being sifted, that we're being filtered out by God. And I feel like this is a season where the church itself is being sifted so that the chaff can be removed from us, so that what comes through is pure and clean. So in Psalm 1 says, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. The wind blows away. So it said the wicked are like chaff, that there's no goodness in them. Okay, this sounds really harsh, but there's good news at the end. They're undependable. You can't depend on them because they operate from different morals and ethics and values, from kingdom moral ethics and values. They're unable to stand before God, because the only way we can stand before God is to come through Jesus. And their eyes are blinded to their own self-flattery and vanity and sinful ways, that they don't actually have the ability to come before God, because they have rejected the doorway to God the Father through Jesus Christ. They're unable to stand with the righteous. If you notice that when people that don't know Jesus are in real rebellion to Jesus, gather around people in Christian gatherings that are worshipping the Lord, people get very itchy, scratchy, and quite often will walk up and leave, get up and leave. And so when we start to talk about the Lord, when we start to have conversations about Jesus or about heaven or about kingdom or about sin or about judgment, then there's always this like instant separation between those that are born of the Spirit and those that are just born of the flesh. It says in Psalm 1 that their pathway leads to destruction. So when we partner with any of the above, God calls it wickedness. So even when we partner as the church, if we partner with this self-flattery, vanity, deceit, wickedness, foolish choices where he's not involved, if we're committed to sinful or rebellious lifestyle, if we set our heart in something that is against the commands of the Lord, against the ways of God, then we are partnering with darkness. We partner with wickedness in those situations. And Romans 6:23 says, "For sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah, Jesus our Lord." So we have the two sides of this coin. So we have a payment for the wickedness, which all of us, if we have Christ in our lives, we were once on that side of the wickedness. We were once in that place of wickedness. But we have received that gracious gift of God. We have received Jesus, the Messiah. We have received him, and we are born again by his Spirit. So we have this eternal life as a divine exchange of the punishment of death that we actually were due to have. So Romans 6:23, the sin payment is death. Payment for sin is death. But God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah Jesus, our Lord. The next group we want to look at, number two, is God, the God group. So the God group. And I think Psalm 36 speaks so beautifully of God just bringing up this. Look at some of the names of like the Lord here. Just take a moment and have a look. So Psalm 36 here speaks about the nature of God. So we've spoken about the nature, the base nature of the wicked. So not all the wicked, not all the people that don't know God fall into all those categories, but somewhere in those categories they fall into. So we want to look at the nature of God here, God himself. And in Psalm 36, it speaks instantly about your love, Lord, your love, Lord. You know, and other places in scripture it speaks about, like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave." What did he give? He gave his son. He gave his son, the most precious, precious thing that he had, the heart of his heart, he gave his son. So love, God's love is unfailing. He was the Father right from the beginning. He was a father to Jesus. He was a father to the world. He was a father to the nations. Right at the beginning, God has always been, he was, he is, and he always will be a father. Right from the beginning, before we were even created, he was still a father. He had a family in heaven. He has always been Abba. So what does this love look like in this passage? It looks like righteousness. Righteousness in right standing. There is nothing about God's character that is imperfect. Nothing. Not his immense love, his unconditional love, his grace, his goodness, or the deep-seated part of his judgment. That he is also a very just judge, not just a loving father. That he will love us to the end. That he will also judge our hearts, even as believers. He will judge our hearts and he will judge our ways and he will judge the wicked. He judges our works and our motives. And actually, the judge part of us is actually working already in sifting us like the chaff to remove that chaff from our lives. So when things get uncomfortable for us, God's actually... it's almost like he's throwing us in the air and he said, I want to separate from you what is chaff and what is wheat. What is the dross and what is the gold? Because I'm calling out the gold in you. I'm forming you to be more and more like my son Jesus. I'm forming his nature in you. And for that to happen, I have to turn up the heat and give you situations where you can begin to work the fruit of my Holy Spirit into your life so that you become more and more like my son Jesus. He is pro-life. It says that you preserve both people and animals. I love this because people are like, yeah, God loves man, you know, but I'm like, he loves the animals. He loves man. He loves the animal. He loves his creation. Creation isn't just us. We're family. We're his kids, but he loves creation. You know, he has made creation to be ongoing, to reproduce, just like we reproduce. Creation reproduces. It's made in the image of Creator that says, I want you to increase and multiply, whether it's the seeds of the earth or whether it's the seed in the animal, whether it's the seed in humanity. God has given us this DNA that says increase and multiply. I want you to be abundant. I want abundance to be your portion. You know, I'm delighted my daughter's having twins. You know, I know she's going to need me to go and help. And it's like, but that's abundance. It's abundance. People say, oh my gosh. I'm like, no, it's abundance. She's excited about it. You know, she's ready for this. She's had practice. She's got five others. She's got practice for this part now. And I just look at the Lord and how he just delights in creation. He loves it. He loves every season. He loves the season of rest in the winter time when everything's just taking time to recover from the busyness and taking time to drink up from the waters, the fresh waters that are coming. And then the springtime and all those beautiful little colors appear. He loves it all. He loves it all. And he loves every season of our lives. He loves it when we rest, when we just take time to lie back and enjoy him and to rest and to drink of him. And he loves it when we're doing his business. We heard last night about the ruler, the kingdom ruler, that gave the minas to his servants. And he said, go do business until I come back. God loves it when we do his business. When he's given us tasks to do, he loves watching what we do with that. He loves watching how we are creative with that and how we put our creative gifting into the multiplication and create an abundance with everything that he's put in our hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next slide up, Andy. The little squan. I love this. This is like my favorite slide of all times, right? This is in Psalm 36. It says that he is a refuge, that people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Look at that. Look at that. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. So there's three things there. Number one, he's a refuge. He's a refuge. Number two, He's a shadow. His wings create a shadow that we can hide under. And number three, he has wings. Oh, my days. It's like that swan where that little bird could just crawl up in underneath, and it was so safe. No one would get near that little bird. Not only was it hidden as a refuge, but it was in the shadow of. So if that swan like went by you, unless you actually really looked in, you wouldn't even know it was there. And it's like how God hides us, you know, like especially I think when we're feeling sensitive or weak or struggling, it's like he says, come crawl into this refuge. Come right in. Come into that place. And I think for the Lord to be our refuge, we got to come in really, really close. We got to come so close. We got to take time. You know, it's like him and me. It's like that closeness. You know, I want to be in the shadow. I want to be under those wings. I want to be hidden in him. And when I get into that place, I actually really don't even want to come out. I don't want to do anything else. I'm happy there. I don't need anybody else around me. I don't need food. I'm so happy right in that place of refuge, just being in under the wings of the Lord. It's a beautiful place to be. His wings are the shadow that creates our refuge. His wings are the shadow that creates our refuge. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge in his faithfulness. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. We were listening last night to how Jesus was the perfect example of all the stories of faithfulness of God right from Genesis, and how he was like this fulfillment of everything that Israel had walked through. It's like he was the total fulfillment of Israel, and he was dependable because of his faithfulness, because the faithfulness of the Father was seen in him. It moved me that every story Jesus fulfilled in his short ministry time, every story of victory He mimicked, even like 40 years in the desert, you know, where he did the time in the wilderness. And the baptism through the Red Sea, his baptism, and all these things where Jesus was the perfect fulfillment. And because of his faithfulness, we know that he is a safe place and a safe refuge to be. He has a house and a feasting table. My gosh, come on. It's like the old covenant, yeah, was this tabernacle that when the priest went in, if he wasn't clean and didn't do the right stuff and didn't present the right offerings and didn't do it right down to the like last nitty gritty piece, he like was slain. You know, they had to drag him out. When his bell stopped ringing, he was in trouble. And I'm like, that was the old covenant, you know, and God came and he led his people by the fire. He led them by the cloud. He led them with the Ark of the Covenant where his presence was. But today, he tabernacles with us. You know, when you think that he was so untouchable except for the few, and yet now he tabernacles with us. He chooses to tabernacle with us. Like, he calls us his delight, you know. My gosh, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God that rested on the mercy seat, lives in me, you know. He chooses to live in me, and he chooses to use me. He chooses to love me, and he chooses to cover me in his faithfulness and his goodness. It moves my heart so much. Ah, he is the river of delights. My gosh, he's a place of great pleasure, a place of great pleasure. He calls us to drink from the river of those things that delight him, of things that delight him. And he gave me this picture, you know, of the tree in Psalm 1. Planted by the rivers, the streams of life. It says here that you give them drink from your river of delight, for with you is the fountain of life, the fountain of life. And I saw this picture of us standing along the river. And, you know, a tree that's planted by the river cannot afford to be uprooted away from the water. because its leaves will die and it will not produce fruit. The only way that a tree can produce fruit is to have its roots drinking continuously of the stream of the river. So I the Lord really began to speak to me about being planted deep into his river, these river of delights. I mean, it's not a hard place, it's delightful, but it's the river. And if I am not continuously planted, if I end up taking my eyes off gaze and taking my eyes off focus, my roots move to different places of security, and I will not bear forth the fruit that God wants me to bear forth when I'm planted into his waterways. I want to have abundant leaves of healing for people. I want to have abundant revelation for people. I want to have abundant fruit that I can lay before the Lord when I stand before him. I want to be able to say, this is what you've cultivated in me, Lord, because I spent time in your river. This is what you grew in me because I spent time in your river. Yeah. In verse 9, it said, in your light we see light. And this took me right back to the beginning of that chapter where it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't have the light. And here it says, with you is the fountain of life. And in your light we see light. And it's like when, you know, in light is the place of revelation. It's his ways, it's his thoughts. In the Song of Song, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, he brought me into his banqueting house. His banner over me is love. The fountain of life is Yeshua. The fountain of life is Jesus. And if we see light, we see him. It's only when we see him that we have revelation of his ways, of his love, of his faithfulness, of truth. Yeah. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. There is a light that shines every day. There's a light that shines every night. And no matter how desperate people are, when they turn their gaze off their own self and begin to look at the light that is around them, Jesus will manifest himself to them. He's just waiting to pour that light upon them. He's just waiting to pour his love upon them and the revelation of who he is. John 3:16, God so loved. He loved the world so much that he gave. You know, it cost him everything. It cost him to slay his son. It says in Isaiah that he crushed his son. It pleased him to crush him because he loved me, because he loved you. It pleased the Lord to crush him because he loved us, because he wanted that relationship with us. So I'd like Mary, we're just going to move on to group three, which is those born of the water and those born of the Spirit. And as we just look at this slide, I'd like Mary just to read the portion that I've given to her. So if you could unmute yourself there, Mary.
Oh, damn. Okay. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Come on. And John 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Son of God. So we've all been born of water. We've all been born of water. But the Lord says, unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What is being born of the Spirit? It is believing that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. There's more to believing than just having a head thought. This is a surrender of the heart. This is an acknowledgement that we change masters, that we change from the master of darkness to the master of the kingdom of light, to the creator of all things, to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And in Psalm 1, we tell us what the righteous looks like. This is us, guys, right? Or what we should be. This is what we should be. It's a challenge today. So, blessed. Number one, we're blessed when we do these things. We're blessed. Our family gets blessed. Our generations get blessed. You know, we get blessed when we do obedience to the Lord and we surrender to Him. One, we're righteous. To be righteous before the Lord means to be in right standing. To be absolutely all the sin, all that side of darkness that we partnered with is like been washed away. It's gone. It's gone. It's forgiven. We are righteous before God, which gives us the ability to enter into that refuge, enter into that shadow, enter into that place of security, right into the heart of the Father. It says we're happy. That word blessed also means happy. And joy is a third of the kingdom. And we should be actually the most joyous people on the earth because of what we carry. Yeah. We have the answer to the questions of the world. Actually, we have the answer. We have the person who is the answer. It says here that we are wise. And the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of the Lord and he will give to you what you need. So the wise don't take advice from people who don't carry kingdom values. So we operate from a very different value system, a different moral system, a different ethical system. We are set apart unto the Lord. We live in a different kingdom. We live in a different way. We do not conform to the world's systems, to the world's morals and the world's ethics when they contradict the word of the Lord. So yes, we are subject to the law of the land, until it begins to be contrary to the word of God in our lives. Matthew 4, verse 4 says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So the righteous, those born of the Spirit, are those that listen to the Lord, those whose ears are attuned to the Lord and receive the revelation of the Lord, those that are steeped in the knowledge of the word of God, learning to grow every day. The righteous are, they carry integrity and honor. They do not mock or scoff others. And so often I think in the church there's a compromise, you know, and we don't honor one another well. And I think we need to learn to honor one another well and to love one another well. They're keepers of the laws of God. It says that the righteous delight in the laws of God. Delight. And in the world today, especially in Western civilization, we're so rebellious against authority. You know, we're rebellious against the law. You just got to listen to the news right now. And yet the Lord says here that actually, I want you to absolutely delight in my laws. I want them to be a delight to your heart because they're part of the refuge. They're part of the safe place that I'm bringing you into. And Galatians 5, 14, 18 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command. Who knows what command? That one command of the Lord. So the entire law in Galatians 5, 14, 18 says, in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that if we can actually begin to put that in practice, you know, we say that we love the Lord and yet we struggle with our neighbor or we struggle with family members. And yet the Lord says here that the entire law is fulfilled in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So for us to love our neighbor well, we've got to be able to love who we are. For us to know who we are, we've got to know God. And we've got to take on the identity that the Lord speaks to us so that we can love others with that same love. Psalm 1 says that we meditate on God's commands. So we delight in his laws and now we meditate on his commands. And that's like to consider, to muse, to dream upon, to think upon, to dwell upon, to meditate on the commands of the Lord. And then it says that we're a healthy tree, a producer of fruit, a producer of fruit. So, Peter, would you read Galatians 5:19-24 for me, please, that I gave you earlier to do?
Yeah. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
Thank you, Peter. So we're called to live a completely opposite lifestyle to the world's ways. We're called to walk in kindness and love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And how are these things worked into your life? I remember watching, what's the movie, Evan Almighty, and his wife turned around and said, you know, the Lord said to her, "Well, you asked for patience." And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, then I'm going to give you opportunities to be patient." And I'm like, so often we think, oh, I'm so impatient, you know. And the Lord says, okay, if you want patience, I'm going to give you opportunities to practice patience. If you want joy, I'm going to give you some situations that are not quite joyful where you can choose to stay in joy. If you would like to be more kind, I'm going to give you situations that actually make you want to turn away from someone, but I'm calling you to be kind to that person. I'm calling you to show kindness, to show my nature to this person. Self-control. I don't even need to explain that. We're all working through things that we need to bring in to line, you know. Even self-control in the time we spend with the Lord and just in that secret place. So, next thing it says that we're prosperous. Who wants to be prosperous? I do. I believe that when we're tuned into the Lord, that we're prosperous. I believe we're prosperous in our soul. We don't get swept under by the world's chaos, like today with COVID. Our neighbours are like, "How are you guys?" And we're like, "We're great. We're good, you know. God is good. It's good. It's a good day, you know. The numbers of deaths are coming down. You know, it's coming through. We're good." I believe that we can be prosperous in our business. We can be prosperous in, my daughter's prosperous in having children. And I think God's prosperity infiltrates every part of our lives. We're evergreen. It doesn't matter what season it is. It doesn't matter what comes against us. We're the evergreens. You know, when our roots are deep in Jesus, when our roots are deep in the Word, we are the evergreen trees. We're not affected by drought. Why? Because our roots are deep. Our roots are still down into those wet places. Our roots are still digging in deep and holding on there. We're evergreen. We produce fruit in every season that is needed and required. And we're watched over by God. Tammy, would you read Psalm 139 for us that I asked you to read those verses? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Mm. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely.
Yeah. So he knows everything, you know. We're like completely covered by the Lord. In another verse, it says that he's a shield around us. He hems us in. Mm. He's a shield around us. And it's a place of incredible security with the Lord. So how do we partner with God to become the righteousness of God in our lives? Number one, obedience to his commands. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Andrew, would you read that for me? You can unmute yourself.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and they shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontals on your forehead, or shall be this version before, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates.
And then again, it was reiterated in Luke chapter 10, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And God always brings us back to that first point of call, you know, that we love the Lord our God, we love one another, and we teach it to our children, we talk about it along the way. It's the way of the Lord. How do we partner with righteousness? We hang around people that encourage and build us up. We hang around people of the Lord, people of the Spirit that encourage us and build us up. Not to hang around with, you will become what you behold. You will become what you behold. If you hang out with people that don't know God and that's your lifestyle, it's different in a work situation, but if you're like socializing constantly with people who don't know God, what you're beholding, you will become. That's where your roots will go down. But we're called to be people that infiltrate the world, to bring the kingdom to the world, but not to become like the world. We're called to bring the kingdom to the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't delight in people that are rebellious and sinful. So not to partner with people that are constantly being rebellious against God and wicked. Yes, to love them. Yes, to be kind to them. Yes, to pursue them for Jesus, but not to hang around all the time with them. Not for that to be your company. That feeds you. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. These are the things God says, I want you to delight in my laws, to delight in my ways, to obey my commands. And it says, Psalm 19, 7 to 11, the law of the Lord is perfect. Why? It refreshes your soul. So when we delve into the laws of God, it actually refreshes our soul. It brings our soul back into line with the ways of the Lord. This scripture is referring to the Torah. So it's referring to the first five books of the Bible. So it's good to actually spend time and just read through that on a daily basis. Just make that part of your reading with the Lord and become familiar with the history of God. And what we are actually grafted into, what it is that the law, that God set apart and called it the law. Yeah, so because it says it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's flawless. Mm-hmm. And it refreshes your soul. Also, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 are also part of that law. And then it says the statutes of the law are trustworthy, imparting wisdom. The statutes are the rules. And so many of us don't like rules. We don't like being told what to do. But actually, the rules of the Lord, it says here, impart wisdom. It gives us wisdom for situations in life. It gives us wisdom and boundaries to live by. The precepts of the Lord are right, bringing joy to our heart. Rules that transform behaviour and thought. The precepts of God, rules that transform behaviour and thought. So again, it brings joy. So we've got rules, we've got safe boundaries that we can rest in that are transformational. When we look at the precepts of God, those behavioural things, those lifestyle things, It actually is transformational for us and transforms us to be more like Jesus. The commands of the Lord are radiant. It brings revelation and direction for your life. If you're looking for direction and revelation, you need to spend time in the law. You need to spend time in the statutes. You need to spend time with the precepts. You need to spend time looking at the commands of God. And that says then, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And we need to have a fear of God, because God isn't just love. He's not just a beautiful creator. He's also a just judge. And someday we will, even now, we are still accountable to that judge even now. You know, we serve him. He's not just a judge that gives us reward, but he is a judge that will bring judgment. You know, it says that he punishes the wicked. Punishes the wicked. The decrees of judgments, the decrees or judgments of the Lord are firm. He calls out the righteous of God. So it calls the righteousness out of God, out of us, when we look at the decrees and the judgments of God. So these are things that we need to spend time in. So if you want to increase in your ability to understand God's ways and God's heart, you need to spend time in the Word. You need to look at the rules that are in the Word, the things that we're called to live by. You're looking at the transformational behavior rules that are in the Word. You're looking at the revelation through the commands so that you have direction in your life. And you need to learn, actually, that God still is a fearful God. He is our Father. He is our Papa. But actually, he is God and he is sovereign. And he always was, is, and will be. You know, and we need to understand the fear of God and the decrees and the judgments of the Lord, to partner with him and not be offended when he is correcting us, when he's bringing correction, when he's bringing discipline, that we would surrender, that we would still continue to gaze upon him, that we would still continue to dig our roots deep down and gaze upon him in that time. So just looking here, man without God, man born of the Spirit. So born of flesh, born of the Spirit, born of the flesh, no fear of God. Born of the Spirit, a love for God. Without God, self-flattery. Born of the Spirit, walk in humility. Blinded by vanity, the revelation of truth. Deceitful and wicked, truthful and kind. Foolish, wisdom. Committed to sin and rebellion against God, obedient and surrendered to God. Unable to stand before God, boldly comes before the Lord. Unable to stand with God's people, we belong to a family. Man without God are orphans, without a father, without knowing their father. Born of the Spirit, we are sons and daughters. I'd just like Angie to do the reading that I asked her to do. Angie, if you could unmute yourself and do that for me, that would be really good.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honour. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing.
Thank you. We know people that don't know the Lord. I don't want them to waste away. I want them to come into the place of having their eyes opened and their hearts turned toward the Lord. Now look at the blessings that we have here that they can walk into. And it just reminds me how much we need to pray and petition the Lord for those that we know that don't know him, that his mercy would be poured out, that they wouldn't face him as the judge, but they would face him as Father. So for me, this is just, it just brings together everything that I felt are the blessings of the Lord. Our children will be mighty. The generations will be blessed. Even in darkness, the light will dawn. We walk in the graciousness, the compassion, and the righteousness of God. We conduct our affairs with justice. We have wisdom in how to do business. We'll have no fear of bad news. You know, we have so much that is wrapped up in the beauty of God, the character of God. We are blessed. We are the trees that are planted by the streams of living water, by a fountain of life, a fountain of life. We are the trees that whose leaves are meant to be healing for others. We have fruit that we have to impart to those around us, to grow in. But we must also allow the Lord to prune us, you know, to remove the chaff, to get rid of the dross. There's the both and. There's, yes, Lord, I want the fruit. I want the green leaves. I want the drink of the water. But actually, I need to surrender to you those things that I hold on to, that I know that you're putting your finger on right now. And I want you to draw me back right into that place of refuge, right into that quiet place where you and I can do some business together, that I can be the righteousness of God that you have called me to be. So I hope that has helped or blessed you this morning. I just know that it really, the Lord really moved my heart in showing me kind of that, those two sides, you know, of his love as a father. When we father our children or mother our children, there's that side of us that just wants to scoop them all up, you know, and love them and kiss them and cuddle them and dress them up and make them look nice and give them lots of nice things. And then there's the side that has to discipline, the side that where the tone of voice has to change, you know, child, you know. I remember, like, when I spoke to my daughter's little child, and asked Josiah, and Grace went, oh, I remember that voice. I remember that voice. And we need to have ears to hear when God says, Sharon, you know, Stephen, Robert, Dory, Darla. We need to have ears to hear when God wants to come and speak to us to get rid of the chaff, so that we can receive more of the blessing, actually, and come closer into his presence and to gaze upon him with more purity. So let us continue to be those trees. Let me just pray for you before we finish. So, Father, we just thank you that you see us as the righteousness. You see us as righteous. You see us as being upright in heart. And yet, Lord, we know that we have so far to go. We know, Lord, that we have so far to go, yet we thank you that you are the fountain of life. We thank you, Lord, that we feast at your table. We thank you that you tabernacle with us, that you tabernacle in us and through us. We thank you that the world gets to see you through our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are Father, and yet you're also the judge, the discipliner. You're the one that comes to bring the rod and the staff, the guidance and the stick. We thank you, Lord, that we can surrender to both. We thank you, Father, that we can choose to set our gaze always on your face and not on what is going on around us. We thank you, Lord, that in that place of refuge, that we swim in that river of delights, that you equip us to transform the world around us. So God, we just say today, God, let us be transformers. Transformers that receive you and transformers that release you. People that you will rest upon and people that you will work through. So Father, we just say today, we give it again. We just surrender again to you. We surrender it all. We just say, God, come and take us, mold us and make us.
into all that you want us to be today, that we would be that righteousness, that we would be the representation of Jesus that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.